as I was saying, we are studying celebration. And as I was looking at the word celebration, there were a lot of things that we can be thankful for, but the word that resonated with me was rejoice. And then that word kind of whittled down a little bit clearer, a little bit more concise, and that word was joy. Joy. So for this month of December, we're going to be in a series. Just because you guys know me and I'm a teacher and I got a lot for you, we're going to spread it out a little bit and make sure that we retain and understand everything that we're talking about today. So our series for the month is Joy Unspeakable. And I was telling Pastor Glenn this morning as we were talking, I hope that makes you think of a few songs. I can think of one, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory, right? Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean to have joy that is so unspeakable that it fills us with the glory of God? I'm excited. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump right into it, okay? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for, Lord, just the opportunity to be here together in one place. And God, we believe that those who are joining us online that will watch this recording afterwards, Lord, we believe that they are just that, right along with us, together. And God, I believe that you will use this word of joy, that it will just get down and deep into our hearts. That, Lord, that it will flow out of us. And as you were talking to me, Lord, you reminded me of rivers of living water. Let those rivers bubble up in us. Let it explode out and burst forth. Let it be joy unspeakable, and let us really, truly understand what it means to be full of your glory, Lord, so that when we turn our eyes upon you, when we look to your beautiful face, and when all those things grow dim, Lord, we are following you. We are after your heart. We are after your will and your way in our lives and the lives of the people that we love around us. Lord, let us bless them with everything we can do. Let us be sacrificial in our giving and our love towards them, because true love, that love that you want us to have, esteems others better than ourselves. Lord, and that's hard. That is really hard sometimes. But in you and through you, we know that we can do it, and we can be transformed by that renewing in us. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. So, I hope the word joy resonates with you today, because especially in the month of December and Christmas time, and things start getting a little bit cold. I like the cold, but things also get lit up and real pretty. I hope you like some of the work we did. Thank you so much to everyone who assisted in the decorations. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to go around town to the various places like UConn and, you know, not very far, but little places that have it real decked out real nice. You can tune your radio in and listening to the music as you're going through it. It brings me back. It has those points of memory that I can return to where I felt that abundant joy. And something we're going to learn today, getting a little bit ahead of myself, but something we're going to learn is that joy, it can happen from our circumstances. Although we are focusing today more on the one who gives us joy, there are circumstances and situations that he allows us to go through that can also spring up that joy in us. So I hope you can hear that today, and I hope you're taking notes. So what does it mean is one of the questions I have for you. And you can write these couple things down because I think this is a great word study. So it occurs, the word joy in the Hebrew and the Greek. So in the Hebrew, it occurs 88 times in the Old Testament. The word is simcha. And it is Strong's number 8057. So if you're a studier and you want to do a word study on that word specifically, 8057, you can drop that in a concordance and you can study the Hebrew word for joy 88 times. I think it's a big deal. And then in the New Testament, it's 57 times. Anybody here a Bible scholar and you know that there are less books in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament? 57 times, y'all. 57. All right, and that word, I like this, and I phonetically pronounce it so I wouldn't mess it up, but it's Cairo, Cairo. And that number is 5463. Study those two words. I'll give you a little bit of a teaser. My study said simply, it's to rejoice, be glad, or to be full of joy. And I Man, I'm going to be smiling a lot. I'm going to be probably laughing a lot. I'm so excited about this, because if we get this, as the Lord was speaking it to me, I just was overwhelmed with joy. So I want you to be overwhelmed with joy. So here's our definition. Joy is a state of mind, and I like this, an orientation of the heart. A settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. Who wants that today? Who doesn't have that and wants to leave here differently than we walked in, with a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope? I hope all our hands are going up. Yes, Lord, we can have more contentment, we can have more confidence, and we can have more hope. Amen? Why? I always ask why. You guys know me. We rejoice because of who Jesus is. We rejoice because of what he's done. Pastor Glenn gave us a really quick version of all that Jesus was and is and what he did for you and me. That alone should give us reason to pause and rejoice, okay? Something else I should tell you, just to kind of let you know why Chris is so fired up this morning. This Thursday, we were wearing masks, so we were safe. We did everything they asked us to do. We were very respectful and spaced out. But we got to go to a Shane and Shane concert. And guys, if you've been on Zoom calls with me or you've hung around me for just a little while, you know that I like these guys, Shane and Shane. I encourage you to check them out. My son, Hezekiah, and I don't, okay, he's in the back. Hezekiah, who was on drums this morning, he has listened to worship from Shane and Shane since that dude was a baby. And so I could walk up to the Shanes right now and say, my son has learned everything musically from you guys, and bless them. But the reason why I like these guys, and hear me on this, there's a lot of good musicians, there's a lot of good music, but the reasons why I like these guys specifically is they sing the Bible. It's really hard to mess stuff up when you're singing the scripture. And the thing that I like a lot about it, and we're going to talk about it at the end of the service here, because they played my favorite song, guys. Anybody that knows from our Zoom call, there's a song that I told you that we could sing. It's found in Psalm 34. It's called Taste and See, and it talks about rejoicing the Lord. And guys, I can't say it without smiling, so we're going to give you an opportunity to say it with me if you're going to be brave enough, and we're going to see if you can do it without smiling. I don't think Pastor John could do it when I think we did it. So you got two for two. Let's see if anybody else can best us. But when we think and when we talk about the good that the Lord has done, it's really hard not to get excited. And I hope that is the case for you. And if it's not, I hope that we leave that way. I hope that we learn, okay? So all that said to say, very long intro, some freebies in there. Our first point that we're going to talk about today is the truth of joy. So in John 15, 9 through 11, in the Passion Translation, Jesus taught us something. He showed us that out of our love comes joy. Let's read John 15, 9 through 11, Passion Translation says it this way. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. I want that to sink in. I'm gonna pause there. I love you with the same love that the Father loves me. So you must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands. It is possible. You can keep his commands. How? In his love, with him. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Does your joy cause your heart to overflow with gladness? I hope so. Guys, another thing I guess I should say is I didn't always live that way. I didn't always experience it that way. And now that I've experienced it, I don't want to go back. Like, it's just too good, and I don't want the old way. So I hope that you can hear that today, that it is possible that that you could not be living that way. Love Jesus, but that he wants so much more for you. So I'm praying for you, and I encourage you to step in and press in. So hear that with me again today. The same love that the Father loves Jesus with is the same type of love he loves you with, and you with, and you with, and you with, and so on and so forth. That's huge. That is massive. That isn't, you know, I don't know where you're at or what you're hearing, but he looks at Jesus and he loves him. And he looks at us and he loves us with that same love. Just so cool. I think we might have some unspeakable joy from that. For God so loved, he gave. Remember that? We all learned John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That was his act. That's how much he loved us. With that same love, he's like, I love Jesus. Let me let him hang out with y'all a little bit and see if it does the same thing in you. And guess what? It did, right? All right. In John 16:16, he continues this. And the reason why I gave you John 15 there is to show this point that out of that love, joy would overflow. So he says something else. In 16:16, he says, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. But a little while after that, you will see me again. And then the disciples started asking a bunch of questions, like, not really sure what's going on, what that meant. In verse 19, it says, Jesus realized that they wanted to ask him about it. He's so good. He knew. He said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, in a little while, you won't see me, but in a little while after that, you will see me again. Kind of worded funny there, but I can understand the confusion. So he said in verse 20, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but, this is my favorite part, your grief will suddenly turn into wonderful joy. So I'm a word nerd there, and I was looking at, well, our joy is wonderful joy. They just rejoiced. They were happy, temporal happy. We have this wonderful joy that's about to overflow on us. And listen to what Jesus says. He's going to describe it for us. Now, guys, we don't fully understand this. All the ladies in the house are going to say hallelujah and amen, and they're going to give us the glare. But nonetheless, this is what Jesus said in verse 21. It says, it will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So, you're going to have sorrow now. So, all the ladies in the house that have had babies, you know what the sorrow now is, right? Okay? But, I will see you again, and then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. So, once again, ladies, when that sorrow was done and that baby came into the world, could anyone steal your joy? All the ladies in the room are saying no, y'all. So I'm gonna trust them and believe that they've experienced something that us fellas don't quite know. But I agree with their joy that when Jesus said, don't worry, I'm coming back, and your joy will be transformed from that grief, from that sorrow, you're not going to be able to explain it. It's unspeakable, full of glory. So he says in 23, listen to what it does in us. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything, because I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before, so now ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. We get to use his name. That is so cool. So, my question for you today, you know I give you guys these questions, so ponder this. Here's question number one. Are you walking in his love? Are you walking in his love today? Because if love is the key, is the trigger, is the switch to experience joy, I think we would want to walk in it today, okay? Amen. My next point. There's evidence. Uh-oh. That's usually not something people want to hear, but there's evidence. And the way we're talking about it is from Galatians 5:22. And it says that joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. That as we are infilled with the Holy Spirit, we experience gifts. And these gifts, these points of evidence, these fruit, will be manifested in our lives and everybody will know. So listen to what it says in Galatians 22 and 23. It says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So listen, maybe you didn't grow up in church and you're sitting here saying, Chris, fruit, growing my own vegetables, I don't have a green thumb, that doesn't really resonate with me. So that's why I said evidence. we are talking about evidence. So when I say the fruit of the Spirit in your life, it's evidence that you are His. So the Bible tells us that there are going to be many people that rise up in the last days that claim to be Christ, that will do miracles and say, I'm Jesus. So they're going to have this false evidence, and they're going to try to deceive the church. Then he also tells us that there are going to be people, there are going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that are in our churches working and trying to deceive people. So I'm putting you on this this thought, this idea of you're a detective, and your job is to seek out the evidence, is what I'm showing and giving out evidence that I'm His, and are we showing evidence that we are His? Does that make sense? I hope that helps. So I want people to see our lives and see the evidence. All right, you with me? All right, so question two. Here's your pondering thought. Does your life show this, the signs, the evidence of joy, the fruit of joy? All right? Next point. Joy is not worldly. And in fact, as I've been studying, it defies all logic. Let me give you a few examples. In Philippians 2:17-18, it says, "But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy." Even in Paul's troubles, he was willing to give his life for the joy. James 1:2-4 in the Passion says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties," come on somebody, "see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." We're not there yet, guys. That's where we're going. But are we thankful that we're not there yet? Because some of us would be like, "Oh no, I missed it." You know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're not done with me yet. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that you finish what you begin. Okay, we're not there yet, but we know that this is the path that we're on. So we can take joy in that. I'm on the path, right? Everybody say, "I'm on the path." Amen? All right. So the thought that I had here is that it's so easy to assume that joy is something that we receive through blessings only. Something that we receive in blessings only. But sometimes we find that it comes through pain and sorrow as well. Amen. What? Joy comes through pain and sorrow? Chris, that doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you that I've experienced blessings and I've experienced lots of pain and sorrow, and somehow, some way, God was able to work out joy in my life so that it overflowed in both of those situations, both of those expressions. Do I have any hands that are willing to raise their hand and say, "Yes, Chris, in the pain and the sorrow, joy came"? Amen? All right, thank you. So, another truth that we have in joy as it relates to all of this, that it's something that we can commit ourselves to because we're being transformed. We can commit to be joyful because we are being transformed. So check this out. In 2 Chronicles 30:26-27, it says, "There was great joy in the city, for Jerusalem had not seen a celebration," there our word is, "like this one since the days of Solomon, King David's son. Then the priests and Levites stood and blessed the people, and God heard their prayer from his holy dwelling in heaven." Why? Why was there great joy in the city? And here it is. They committed to something. They dedicated themselves and everything to the Lord and his service. Then what happened? Boom. Joy happened. And then God heard them. How awesome is it that we take joy and we dedicate our lives, we commit, we are resolved in serving him and blessing him and honoring him, and that joy comes. Okay? Can you hear that today? I got another one for you, and I've been doing this to you, so maybe we're going to pick from a few for our Wednesday night studies, But I encourage you, and Joe confirmed it this morning. He didn't know that he did, and I didn't tell him that he did, but I'm telling him now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read that. 1 Thessalonians 5. I've given you Ephesians. So next one up is 1 Thessalonians 5. It will bless your socks off. And I'm going to see you next week after you study it, and because we're going to commit to do this together, and we're going to be different, because 1 Thessalonians 5 has a ton of joy, but it kind of gets to the point in 16 and 17 that it says this. It says, let joy be your continual feast. I like that. Next up, it says in 17, make your life a life of prayer. And then in 18, it says, and in the midst of everything, always be giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Joy, my continual feast. My life is a prayer, probably lifting up a prayer. And in everything, give thanks. You think that's a pretty 1-2-3-step process that we can experience God's goodness? So that word there that it says in verse 16, joy, is the Aramaic. It says, be joyous in every season. And the beginning of 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll talk about seasons, so you'll see the connection. And then it says here in verse 16 through 18 in the little study portion, here's what we focus on. Unbounded joy, praying continually, and giving thanks to God no matter what. Think we can do that? Unbounded joy, commit to unbounded joy, no end, no limits. Pray continually, and then giving thanks to God no matter what. No matter what happens in our lives. These three things will combine to form the wonderful expression of Christ's life within us. Do you think they would call us Christians as they did in Antioch for the disciples when we start looking and sounding and doing all the things that Jesus did? You think that might happen? All right, I got another little bit of a hard part for this for you. So you might be hearing this and you're like, well, I do that. But here's the zinger. God gave it to me and it hurt when he told it to me too. So here you go. He said, this isn't a fake smile or a special mask that we wear on Sunday so that people won't know what we just did or said on the way to church this morning. Well now, Lord, tell us how you really feel. You believe he's telling us? He said, it will well up within us from the knowledge we have about him, and here's our word, the relationship that we live out with him. So it will come up from the river of living water that he placed inside of us. Can you hear that today? It's not fake. It's not forced. It's not, all right, no one speak of this. We're about to walk into the church doors and they can't know what we're really like. Right? Who's been there? I've been in those cars usually saying it, okay? So if I'm telling on myself, tell on yourself, get it out in front of the Lord and say, that's not who we are. Say that with me. That's not who we are. What do we commit to? Unbounding joy, praying continually, giving thanks for everything, no matter what happens. Can we do that today? Pastor Craig Rochelle of Life Church shared a reminder this week, and I borrowed it because it's perfect. It's he said, who you are with determines who you become. Is that right? Does that sound like it's pretty accurate? Who you're with determines who you become? I think there's a scripture that says that. So, you can say, now, after we've studied all of this, it's not fake, it's not pretend, it's not a mask, I can commit to this, and no matter what, I have this hope. There's a song that Ann McMillan knows, I think we've talked about it before, that Phil Wickham does. We got to see Phil Wickham, by the way, and he was fantastic. And he sings a song called Living Hope. We have this hope, and I've got it all in caps. Do you know that Jesus is our living and breathing hope? No matter what happens, he's never ending. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His love for you didn't change. His transforming power for you did not change. So I'm telling you guys, you can have this same hope. So here are my last two questions. Are you dedicated to his service, his will, and his way? Next question. Are you experiencing his joy in every season of your life, no matter what happens. I want to have a time real soon that I remember it kind of old days, old church, where we had a little bit of a testimony time where we got to talk about what God just did, okay? So we typically have not failed to say, would you pray for me for this? But I think in places we failed to say, hey, you know that prayer that we prayed together, believing in faith, trusting in the goodness of God? Well, guess what? I got some news, and it's about to make you just overwhelmed with joy because he did something far and above and greater than we asked for, because that's just who God is, okay? So I very much soon, you better be ready, because Chris is going to ask you, and you're going to be like, what? I'm going to ask you to share your testimony, and I believe that God will tell me who needs to share it, so y'all better watch out and be ready to share it, okay? My last point, and I'm going to end with this scripture, this is the scripture I told you about, is that we have to remind our souls to be joyful. So in Psalm 34, 1 through 3, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord, so let the humble hear and be glad. And here's my favorite part. This is their song. Number 3, this is the chorus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Guys, I can sing that for a while. So would you magnify the Lord with me? Give him some praise. Magnify the Lord with me. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We magnify your name. You are good. You are worthy. You are holy. There is no one like you. God, we believe it today. You are good. Amen? So I have a question for those that don't go to Hope Church as we're closing in prayer. Is this joy something that you've been searching for? Have you tried other things or looked to people to fill you with joy that is temporary? And you may be watching this recording even for those online, and you've been searching. We're here, all of us are here to tell you today that this joy, that you can have the joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Where? There you go. Today, okay? So Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your joy. God, we praise you. We exalt your name. God, we do magnify your name. Let our lives be lives that magnify your name. Let our words and our actions magnify your name. God, in everything we say, in everything we do, let us give thanks to you because you are worthy. God, we agree today that you are worthy. And Lord, if there's anybody hearing us today and they don't know you, God, I pray right now through digital, airspace, internet, all that stuff that none of us really even understand, but you do, and you're going to move through it and you're going to transform lives. God, and I believe that we are going to hear the testimony of your goodness, what you did, how you transformed them from the inside out, how you saved them from all the places that they were in, and you set them on the new path to new life in you, in Christ Jesus. And we thank you. God, we praise you. Church, would you thank him right now today? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Do you believe that today? Worship team, would you guys come up and play Great Are You, Lord, for us? Because I think this kind of encapsulates magnifying the Lord's name. Church, would you join us in song? Feel free to stay and pray, but we also know that you are dismissed, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. But we're going to sing Great Are You, Lord, okay?